Hey everybody, this is Pierre Quinn and you're listening to episode number 2 of the Leading Wild Green podcast, where my mission is to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. On today's episode, we'll give you an update, or I'll give you an update on my swimming lessons. We'll talk about the eclipse that happened recently, share one major lesson I tried to teach my daughter at the county fair, and give you one major tip on how to get to the next level in your life. So listen up. So I finished my third swim lesson, and it's been an interesting journey so far. If you listen to the first podcast, episode 1, you're able to get a bit more insight into my swimmer's journey. But I was in the car driving to my third lesson, which is about 45 minutes away from my house, and I just didn't want to go. I just didn't want to be there. Didn't want to be in the pool. I didn't want to be struggling while kids 5 and 6 years old are jumping into the pool, into the deep end of the pool, and swimming effortlessly. I didn't want people to see me with a swim noodle and with a board and having adults around watching and as this 36-year-old guy is trying to figure out how to swim. And I think part of what I was dealing with on that day, and by the time you listen to this, I should be finished with my fourth swim lesson. What I was dealing with on that day was that space between two celebration points. And it's this space that gets all of us. Well, not all of us, but it gets a lot of us. What do I mean by the space between two celebration points? I mean that usually there's an intense amount of energy and excitement when you first start something, when you first start a new venture, when you first start a new project, when you file the paperwork for the business, when you share your ministry idea. There's so much excitement. At that point, it's a cause for celebration. And we're looking for that second cause for celebration, that major celebration point of when we finish the project, when we actually open the business, when the ministry gets off the ground, when the goals leave the paper and become a reality. But the distance or the space between those two celebration points consists of hard work, consists of stick-to-itiveness, consists of perseverance. And it's not always the same amount of energy and excitement during that space, during that middle section. I remember the same experience when I was writing my book, Leading While Green, how emerging leaders can ripen into effective leaders, which is really the inspiration behind this podcast. And you can find it on my blog, pierrecquinn.com. When I was writing Leading While Green, I was super excited about the idea of writing the book and the brainstorming behind the book and sharing with everybody that I was going to write a book and receiving all sorts of congratulations and support in that when I started that process. And I remember holding an exam or review copy of the book in my hands and thumbing through the pages and reading through the content and putting the book finally up for sale and traveling with to speak at seminars and workshops and college campuses about the principles in Leading While Green. I remember the excitement and the excitement that I still get from doing those things. But then I also remember the middle. I remember the middle of it. And it was some days I just didn't feel like writing. I didn't have the excitement. I didn't have the energy that I had when I first started. And in that middle part, just needed to work hard, just needed to be consistent, needed some stick-to-itiveness, needed to hold on to the commitment that I made for this project, even though the excitement wasn't there. And I was feeling like this on my way to my third lesson. Now, I was happy that I went and I was happy that I kept my promise to keep up with these lessons, but didn't always feel that excitement about it. And it was a good lesson. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the next set of skills being taught to me on how to swim, but I wasn't feeling it on the way there. And for a lot of us, we're derailed. Our ideas are sabotaged. They're hijacked because we don't hang in there between those two celebration points. Think about all the stuff that you started in your life, all the ventures that you said you were going to start and hang out and do. Some of you have started 5 or 6 blogs. You've had multiple ideas for businesses. You talked about these ministry things that you wanted to do. You were going to change careers. You were going to go back to school. All the stuff that you said you were going to do, but you didn't because, well, you started it, but you didn't stick with it because in that middle, between that first celebration point and that second celebration point, just the need to be consistent, the need to stick with it really just got to you. Think about all the stuff you started and stopped, or even all the things that you're thinking about starting that have the potential to be sabotaged by your unwillingness or your inability to hang in there in the area between the two celebration points. I would love to hear about something you've started and stopped, or something you started, stopped, and finally got through to the end because you were able to keep going. I'd love to hear about how this is for you and your journey. I'm telling you about my swim journey, but what area of life is like that for you? Drop me a line. Send me an email, pierre@prcquinn.com. Put episode 2 in the subject line, or you can go to my website, prcquinn.com, and hit contact and drop me a line that way. And tell me about life for you between the two celebration points and how you're navigating that space. For some of us, it's not the hard work that gets us. It's the fear. We know we need something to change in our lives, but we're afraid. We're afraid for a myriad of reasons, and fear oftentimes is irrational, but our fears are our fears. And sometimes we just need someone to help us to begin to walk through the challenge of being afraid. And that's why I want to invite you to the Revision Conference on October 29th in Baltimore, Maryland. It's on the campus of the University of Maryland, Baltimore campus. Want to invite you to join us for the Revision Conference. And the idea of the Revision Conference is wrestling with areas of our lives that we know we need to change, areas of our lives where we're being called to dream, imagine, and plan again. And how do we begin to put a plan around, a strategy around life change? And here's what I'm learning. I'm learning that the principles, the core principles of life change are the same, regardless of the area of our lives that needs to change. So for you, if it's like a fitness and health change, if it's a job change, if it's an entrepreneurship thing, if it's a ministry thing, you need to stop or retool your ministry. If it's a relationship, maybe in your marriage or your parenting, or maybe even as a friend, that you need to just rework how you're living life in this area. I want to invite you to the Revision Conference. We'll have life coaches in the room. We'll have therapists in the room. We'll have creative strategists, media producers, professional speakers, leadership influencers. And then it'll be a whole host of people for you to network and draw ideas and inspiration from. The conference is set up really TED Talk style. I know if you've ever watched a TED Talk, it's about 18 minutes is the average. We give you these 18-minute talks, these bursts, and then give you an opportunity to unpack the content and apply it to your lives immediately after the talk. So there is no delay. And the first Revision Conference that we had in July 16th at Bowie State University in Bowie, Maryland was an amazing experience. And people were asking us, when are we going to do the next one? So the next one is October 29th, University of Maryland, Baltimore campus Revision Conference. Get your tickets now. VIP session is going to be amazing for the conference. And we got an early bird special for both the VIP and regular admission to the conference. Go to revision2017.eventbrite.com. That's revision2017.eventbrite.com, and get your tickets and bring 3 or 4 people with you. Fill up a table, bring your leadership team, bring some people you know that are struggling with major life change, and I guarantee that you're going to have an amazing time. Speaking of amazing time, I'm recording this podcast on a Wednesday morning, the day after the eclipse. And for millions of people across the country, around the world, the eclipse was an amazing experience. There are some people who traveled to strategic points in the U.S. just to get a great picture of the eclipse. I was watching CNN, and my eclipse experience was CNN, and I live vicariously through you on social media who were posting pictures of the eclipse. But most of my eclipse experience was through CNN, watching it on CNN. I caught the NASA feed a little bit. I caught the Weather Channel feed. And I remember watching a portion of it on CNN and hearing the announcer, the weather guy on CNN talk about how that it's not just the eclipse. It's not just that experience of the moon being in front of the sun and seeing those solar flares around the moon and those iconic pictures. It's also the journey. Let me back up a little bit. I chuckled a little bit when I was looking at my timeline on the morning of the eclipse for individuals. I was looking at individuals who were looking for eclipse glasses. I was looking at individuals on the timeline who were making requests for eclipse glasses. Now, this is the morning of the eclipse, and we have had months or at least weeks to prepare for this event. Some people have been preparing for years for this experience, and it's amazing. And I was in this camp for a little bit, too, because I was looking up glasses Saturday night if I could get some glasses from Amazon so that I could watch the eclipse. Order a 4-pack for my family, but it was like $100. And I said, listen, I don't need to see the eclipse that badly that I'm going to shell out $100 for some eclipse glasses. And I know some of you are saying this is a once in a lifetime event, yada, yada, yada. But for me, the cost benefit, just wasn't there for me. And some of you may think differently, and that's okay. That's okay. But Saturday night, I was thinking, nah, I'm not going to shell out $100. For these glasses, I'll just let it go. And I had the idea to build something. I know a good friend of mine, you saw on his social media that a couple of friends of mine were using cereal boxes. And there's a really simple device you can make with a cereal box to watch the eclipse. But I didn't do that either. But I was chuckling at the people on the morning of the eclipse who were looking for eclipse glasses. And it's interesting in life that no matter how much lead time we have, no matter how much prior notice we get, that some of us just won't take the steps necessary to be prepared. And I get it. And we have lives and we have things we're trying to accomplish. And I know you're running here and there and everywhere. But what about the rest of us who just squander this time? We spend hours on social media. We spend hours with entertainment, with television. We just spend hours wandering. And we could use that time really to prepare us for the next stage of life. So just chuckling. And I was in that phase too. Man, I had weeks to prepare to order these glasses. If I ordered them months ago, I wouldn't be staring at $100 for some glasses. But just think about how many times you've missed out because you didn't take the steps to be prepared when you had the lead time. You had the lead time. Think about how many people in school, you know, we've been in school and the teacher says an assignment is due or gives you a breakdown at the beginning of the semester or gives you the syllabus at the beginning of the semester. And then on the due date of the project or the paper, and the teacher stands in front and says, let me collect the papers. And you're like, I didn't know a paper was due. Really? Seriously? A paper was due? And the professor says, well, it's been in the syllabus. I've reminded you. And you're looking, begging for an extension. How many times at church where we read these announcements or we print stuff in these bulletins over and over and over and over again? Some churches like mine send out emails. It's just multiple ways of getting the information. And on the day of the event, on the day of the meeting, people are looking around. I didn't know. I had no idea. Why didn't someone tell me? And you're saying, man, we gave you all the information. We made the announcement. We put it in the bulletin. You could go on the website, on the Facebook page. People were talking about it. But because it wasn't a priority for you, that's what catches us a lot. If it's not a priority for you, it falls out of your perception. If it doesn't match your needs, doesn't match your values, doesn't match your attitudes, many times it falls out of your perception, no matter how much time, lead time you have. So some of us just missed out on the eclipse. Well, some of us stared at the sun anyway, and we know we weren't supposed to, and we're praying our eyes heal from that experience. But some of us missed it because we missed seeing it live action, not through a screen. We missed seeing it live because we had the opportunity to be prepared, but we didn't take the steps while the window of opportunity was there and we were scrambling. And there were some people on my timeline who had people share glasses with them, and they got to capture some of the experience. And we're thankful for people who will help us in those times. But it's also important for us when you got prior notice, when you're forewarned, when you got the lead time, just to take advantage. And some of the stuff we'll miss out on in life because we don't move while we have the time. Well, I was going back to the CNN guy who was talking about the eclipse. He was saying that one of the important things to take note of was not just the eclipse itself. Once in a lifetime experience for some people, first time, I think, in 99 years, total eclipse in North America, I think. If I'm wrong, somebody please correct me. But he was saying that it's important to enjoy the journey of traveling to the eclipse, the part of the journey where you talk to other people who are also on this journey, to getting to know the other individuals with telescopes and with cameras and who also just rearranged their schedule so that they could be here. That he was saying that's as much as a part of the eclipse experience as actually watching the eclipse itself. And I thought about that for a few moments. I thought about how many times in life we forget to enjoy the journey because we're just in a rush to get to the destination. And I remember being engaged. This is my 10th year of marriage, our 10th year of marriage, my wife and I. And I remember being engaged. And during the time period we were engaged, we had to just really fight to enjoy engagement because people just kept asking questions about the wedding and wedding plans. And we had all these books and we had all these ideas just in our heads, just didn't really enjoy as much that space between getting engaged and getting married. And sometimes we're just in such a rush to get to the next stage that we miss the important lessons or experience on the journey. We're trying to rush through freshman year of college because we don't want to be freshmen. But there's some stuff in that journey that we should really hold on to. You try to rush through your first days or your 90-day probation period on your job in which you could just be fired at the drop of a dime. But there's some lessons there for you to learn, for you to embrace. You try to rush through the space between when you get your learner's permit for driving and when you get your full license. And we're just rushing through, and we sometimes miss the important elements of the journey itself, the lessons that are the lessons that are there in the journey. The journey is chocked full of lessons for us. And if we learn to enjoy the journey a little bit more, then there are some things that we won't have to circle back around to pick up because we missed out on them the first time. So what area of your life can you better enjoy the journey? What's something new or something recent that you're in right now? And even though you're rushing to try to get to the next phase of it, where are some areas where you can just take not a pause, but you can slow down just a bit and enjoy the phase of the journey that you're on? Well, slowing down is not something that kids like to do. Like slowing down is not something that kids like to do. I have a a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old, and the concept or the idea of slowing down for them almost seems like torture. I took my daughters to the Montgomery County Fair here in Maryland. Now, I grew up going to the Michigan State Fair, so I love carnival games. I love the rides. I love the food. And it wasn't until I was much older that I understood the whole purpose of a fair. I thought the fair was about the games and the ride and the food. And it's not. It's not really about that. The fair, the purpose of the fair, the original intent of the fair is that for people who worked in agriculture, people who raised animals, for people who produced like honey or crafts, the purpose of the fair is to be a showcase for those individuals. They have all of these contests for raising livestock, all of these contests for growing produce, all of these contests for crafts. And that's really what the fair is about. It's a showcase for agriculture. It's a showcase for animal husbandry. It's a showcase for arts and crafts. And the stuff that I like and that many of us like, the carnival games and rides and food, are really just add-ons. The real purpose is the showcase for these specific areas. So I was trying to teach my girls that the importance of the fair and the idea where it really came from and how the staple in society that it used to be, and not just rush to the carnival game. So we spent some time at the fair looking at the animals, smelling the animals, but looking at the animals, asking questions about the animals, and just enjoying that experience before we went to the carnival games and ride side. We stopped at the booth of a lady who made soaps, handmade soaps, and the smell on the soaps were incredible. We bought 2 bars, and I was joking with her. I said, "So you're pretty much at the point," because she said she had been doing this 20 years, I think. I said, "You're pretty much at the point where the soaps are more than paying the bills." And she says, "Oh, definitely. Definitely." So it's good to see. It was good to see an entrepreneur just enjoying her craft and the experience of being at the fair. So we go to the other side. We go to the carnival side and we walk around and look at the rides, and we weren't getting on the rides. We had just come from King's Dominion, a roller coaster theme park in Virginia, and we weren't about to do the carnival rides, the jittery jerky rickety carnival ride thing. Definitely wasn't going to get on the Gravitron, you know, that silver spinning thing that looks like a spaceship. Definitely wasn't going to get on that. I used to get on that as a teenager and it made me sick every single time. So we were not doing the carnival ride thing, but games and food we were down for. So we play one game, and carnival games have changed. The hustle has changed. Before, you had to actually win. Now you don't have to win anymore. You just got to pay. Took my kids to the balloon dart game. You know, you have to burst the balloons with the dart. And the attendant at the game says, "Dad, they don't even have to win. They just have to play." And I said, "Okay, how does this work?" So you're supposed to pop 3 balloons. And I think they gave you 4 or 5 darts. And my daughters popped 2 each. And they gave you the small prize. Now, we paid $5 for this game. Gave you the small prize. And there's a sign that says, if you win 3 small prizes, you can trade up for a large prize. And I was thinking, okay, if you don't have to win, you just have to play. Essentially, what you're saying is, if I give you $15, then you'll give me a large prize. $5 a game, they don't have to win the game. They'll get a small prize for every game. And after those 3 games, you trade in those 3 small prizes for a large prize. Essentially, I gave you $15 for a large prize. And these are cheap prizes, cheap stuffed animals. Cheap, it just, you can get a lot of this stuff at the dollar store, stuff imported from around the world. But the way that they set it up, the prizes are hanging there, and there's some outliers. There's some individuals who are very good at carnival games, and they have these big prizes. They're walking around, and it captivates you, and you want to be a part of that experience of achieving that great prize and you're shelling out dollars just to get this prize that's dangling in the air before you. So we took the one small prize. We weren't going to do the big one. We took the one small one. And then we played another game and they got a small one. And then the four of us sat down, my wife and my two daughters, and we played that squirt game. You know, they hit the button and the squirt gun starts. And if your object gets to the top and your light goes off, you win. So the four of us played and the attendant said, because the four of you are playing, then you guys can pick any prize you want. And I'm thinking in my head, yeah, of course, because I just gave you $20. I've more than paid for this prize multiple times. I just gave you $20 for it. So we were playing the games and my daughters wanted to keep playing and keep playing and keep playing and keep playing. And I said, no, we have a set amount of money for games. And once that money runs out, we're done. There's no more conversation about this. We're done. And of course, my daughters were sad because I was trying to teach them this idea of cost benefit, this cost benefit analysis. Is it really worth it? Is it really worth $20, $30, $40, $50 just to get this one stuffed animal that you're not going to play with when you get home? It's going to go in the garage, or it's going to sit in the corner of your room, or it's going to be oversized and we won't have a place to put it. Is the experience of winning worth the amount of money that we have to pay to put you in a position to win? And I said, we're not doing it. It's not worth it. You know, it's just a fleeting moment. And they said, I was trying to explain to them, the carnival games are not set up for you to win. They're set up for the carnival to make money. And you had to be on a lookout on things in life that are not set up for you to win. They're just set up to take advantage of you and being able to navigate that. So it was rough, but I'm trying to explain to my daughters that the cost benefit, it wasn't working out in your favor. And they had prizes. They didn't have the super mega colossal awesome thing that they wanted, but they had something that they walked away from the carnival with. And I had to set a boundary. I had to set a boundary on that, letting them know we're just not going to spend hundreds of dollars or even tens of dollars just to get this prize that you won't cherish or you won't value for long. So I know it's tough. 9 and 7, value of money, trying to teach them these principles, but it's important. Now think about you. Think about your life. Think about your leadership. Think about your influence. What are some areas of your life where you need to set more boundaries? What are some areas of your leadership that you need to set more boundaries, that you haven't looked at the cost benefit analysis and what you're putting out for what you're getting does not work out in your favor? And it's really taking a toll on you. And how can you make some changes in those areas? Well, I promise you that before the podcast was over, I was going to give you some insight on how to get to the next level in your life. Now, as a professional speaker, there's a part of my life in which I'm a professional speaker. So I'm a pastor, professional speaker. I'm an author. I do some coaching, some mentoring. I do all of those things on top of being a husband and a father. And one of the frequent questions that I get asked over and over is, okay, how do I get into the public speaking world? How do I just break into this industry and experience success as a public speaker? And here's my number one piece of advice. And this advice works beyond just public speaking. It works in every discipline that you're in, every area of life. If you want to get to the next level, if you want to go from being a non-speaker to a professional speaker, if you want to go from being a person who does crafts in your garage to a person who's making an incredible amount of income and having significant influence with these crafts that you're producing, whatever it is, here is one of the major keys. One of the major keys is, in order to get to the next level, you have to crush it at the level that you're on. Like, Pierre, what are you talking about? I'm saying that when people give you an opportunity, you have to crush it. So there's a proverb that says that your gifts will make room for you and bring you before great men. But that only happens if you exercise your gifts in within the parameters of the opportunities that are given to you. Let me put it a different way. So this summer, I was able to speak at two major international conferences, giving presentations on leadership. One was a breakout session to a packed room of over 200 individuals. The other main one was a plenary, a keynote to a room of about 500 people, and it was live streamed around the world. And people want to know, how did you get those opportunities? Well, those opportunities really started when I was in elementary school. Really started when I was in high school, started when I was in college, started when growing up in church. Church gave me an opportunity, tremendous opportunity to cultivate gifts that were given to me. And the way it worked is that when someone would give me an opportunity to make a presentation, maybe a 5-minute presentation, my parents made sure that I worked hard on that 5-minute presentation. And after a while, it wasn't my parents making sure. I just wanted to do a great job myself. I would maximize and I would try to make that the best 5-minute experience. When people would say, hey, can you do like a 10-minute devotional thought? I would just try to work to make that the very best. When you have to give a presentation in class in college, I would work to make my 10 to 15 to 20 minute presentation the best I could possibly make it. And after a while, it's like compounded interest. After a while, these things build on each other. And people give you more and more opportunities. Hey, can you come to our church and share? Can you come to our class and share? And even as a professional speaker, a lot of my opportunities early on were pro bono. They were free. I would go and talk to groups for free about a particular topic. And I would just work to crush it, because in the speaking world, the best marketing for speaking is speaking. So I would take those free experiences and just try to knock the experience out of the park. And from that, people would share, they would let you into their network, they would recommend you to other groups. And after a while, after years, you're on stages as a professional speaking to hundreds and sometimes even thousands of individuals. So if you want to make it to the next level, and no matter where you are in life, you have to crush it on the level that you're at. And if you cannot be trusted with the level that you're at, you'll hardly ever be trusted with a chance on the next level. So ask yourself, what level am I trying to get to? What next tier of responsibility am I trying to get to? What next opportunity am I trying to get to? And how can I crush it? How can I do the very best on the level that I'm at? And I'm telling you, I know from personal experience, if you crush it on the level that you're at, if you do your best on the level that you are at right now, then subsequent opportunities will come before you and your gifts will make room for you and bring you before great men. But you got to do your very best where you are right now while you're working toward the next level. And we'll talk about this a little bit at the Revision Conference on October 29th. In Baltimore, at the University of Maryland, Baltimore campus. We want to see you there for the Revision Conference. Go to revision2017.eventbrite.com. We want you in the building for the Revision Conference. And go to my website, and we want you to bring a group. And if you got a group, you got a group of 5 or 6 individuals you want to bring or more, shoot me an email, pierre@pierrecquinn.com, and I'll work out a special discount for you. Just tell me you heard about the discount on the podcast and you want to bring your crew and ask, you know, what kind of discount we could work out. VIP session is going to be amazing. A few of my great friends are going to join us for this experience. They're world-class speakers. They're great at what they do, and they want to pour into you for this half-day session for the Revision Conference. So check that out. Leave me a review of the podcast. Reviews are the thing. Head over to iTunes and leave me a review. And hit me up on my blog, prcquinn.com, with topic suggestions, maybe somebody you want me to interview. Love to hear your feedback. Check out my book, Leading While Green, How Emerging Leaders Can Ripen Into Effective Leaders. That's the catalyst behind this podcast. Check that out on my blog too, and my 21-day devotional entitled Revision. Hey guys, I'm super excited that you're joining me on this journey to becoming more effective leaders, to live, learn, and lead with confidence. And this podcast is here for you. So until next time, take care, enjoy, and God bless.